for these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Children are a blessing that come directly from God. In Psalm 125 and verse 3, that's exactly what the psalmist says. He says, Children are a gift of the Lord. In verse 5, he says, How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And tonight, I want to suggest to you that no one understood that quite like Abraham and Sarah understood that. Back in Genesis chapter 12, God made three promises to Abraham. He promised Abraham the land. He promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation. And he promised to bless all of the families of the earth through his seed. But there was one problem. Back in Genesis 11 and verse 30, the Bible tells us that Sarah was barren, that she could not have children. And so we come to Genesis 15 in the Genesis story, and God reaffirms His promises to Abraham. But Abraham and Sarah, they get tired of waiting. And so as a result of getting tired of waiting, they decide to take matters into their own hands. And so in Genesis 16, Sarah gives Hagar, her maid, to Abraham. And Abraham and Hagar conceive and have Ishmael. But that's not what God wanted. That was not God's plan. And so in Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, God comes to Abraham and he tells him, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son through Sarah. And do you remember Abraham's response? He laughed. And not only did he laugh, the Bible in Genesis 17 tells us that he fell on his face and laughed. And in Genesis 18, when Sarah is told of this, what did she do? She laughed. And can you blame them? Now, I'm not going to guess ages here tonight, but could you imagine being told by God that you would have a child at 100 or a child at 90 years old? You just think about some of our elderly members that are here tonight and think what would happen if the Lord told them they were going to have a child. Number one, we would laugh at that. But number two, we'd be really worried after that, right? We'd be concerned about their health. And so who can blame them? But God kept His promise. And after years and years and years of waiting, they were finally blessed to have their boy, to have Isaac. And they raised Isaac. They watched him grow and mature. They molded him and they loved him. Children are a gift of the Lord. But as you know, with such a great gift comes such a great responsibility. God gives parents the responsibility to raise their children in the Lord, to nurture and to teach them and to discipline them according to the word of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, Moses admonishes the people. He says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. And then he says, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. In other words, parents and grandparents, you have a responsibility to teach the next generation. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, we could probably all quote this one, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6 in verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and admonition or instruction of the Lord. Or how about this one? Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. As we have already pointed out on Monday night and even last night, it takes two. God's plan is for a father and a mother who are married to each other to raise their children in the Lord. And so there are going to be some teachings of the mother, some commandments of the father, and that child needs to submit and subject themselves to those teachings and those commandments. Parenting matters. Connecting with your children, it matters. Knowing your children, understanding your children, relating to your children, these things all matter. Teaching your children, instructing your children, disciplining your children, bringing them up in the ways of the Lord, it matters. In fact, it is a huge responsibility. And as parents, I don't think you would be here tonight if you did not feel the weight of that responsibility. You know, as I was trying to think about what I wanted to say tonight, I could not help but think about my own children, and particularly how I would describe all children. And I would describe all children in one of two ways, and probably both ways. First of all, children are sponges. From infancy, they take it all in. They soak it up. They watch, they observe, they learn, they laugh, they giggle, they notice everything. They are sponges. And number two, and this one really hits home, but children are also mirrors. From the time they were born, they want to be just like their parents. And I say this because when I look at my kids and when I see how much they look and act and try to be like Mallory and I, it is like looking in a mirror, in my home at least, at three little mini-me's and mini-Mallory's. And at times I have to tell you, I absolutely love that. What parent wouldn't love that, right? We love it when our kids mimic us sometimes and when they act like us and when they try to be like us. We love that. But there are also times when that is really, really frightening. There are times when that is really scary, and quite frankly, it can be horrifying. Because ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I don't want my kids to be just like me. Now, that may shock you,